Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this evening to the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark, chapter number 12. We've been going through the Gospel of Mark in Sunday school. And last week, we took the Sunday school and Sunday evening service and looked at specific topics that kind of tied in together. Remember all those questions and questions. This morning, we looked at the answer that ended all the questions. But there's two parts to it. The first part, we learned about how to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. But then there's a second part we're going to look at a little bit tonight. And the title of this evening's message is To Love Thy Neighbor as Thyself. To Love Thy Neighbor as Thyself. Okay. So we're going to be in Mark chapter number 12. Mark chapter 12 tonight. So this is the challenging part when you get to this spot and you get to this type of message is the reality is we can't do it on our own. One of the commentators I read a little bit after said, if you can do this, then you probably can apply for your salvation because you don't need Jesus. But the reality is we can't do this. We need God's help. Only through Jesus Christ is a person saved. And that's what it's talking about here, about loving the Lord and loving God with all your mind, all your strength, all your heart, all your soul, all those things that are there is a package that seems like, man, how do you do that? But then he takes it, and it's kind of where the rubber meets road in my mind. It's okay. People can say, hey, I love God, and they can act a certain way, and they can say, but their heart can be far from them. But here, when it says, hey, when you love God the way you're supposed to, you're going to treat others the right way. And when you don't treat others the right way, there's something that's wrong. There's something that's missing, and it's your love for God. Because as you begin to learn how to love the Lord, and you begin to understand that love for the Lord, then guess what's going to happen? You're going to begin to love the things that God loves. You're going to begin to hate the things that God hates. So you're going to learn how to love others even as thyself. So let's kind of look here in verse number 28. We'll start. We'll give you a little bit of a context of the passage and the background of it. And then we'll look mostly at verse 31, 32. And there are some other different scriptures we're going to look at tonight. And just try to put this thought here tonight. Love thy neighbors as thyself. The Bible says in Mark chapter 12, verse number 28, and one of the scribes came and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel. We talked about the relationship this morning in Sunday school. There is a relationship that we have. It's a relationship that there is one God. And this is God. This is who God is. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. So that's it. He's God. Now respond to what he says. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. So we mentioned this morning there was over 600 different original laws that were there, and then how the religious leaders of the day added this one, added this one, added this one, to where it became almost comical as you read some of the stories. They were so interested in their, I got to follow this law, and I got to follow this standard, and I got to follow this rule, I got to follow this guideline. They missed the whole point is that they could actually look at the original lawgiver, Jesus, in the face and try to mock him and ask him all these ridiculous questions. And it comes down to this guy in verse number 28, asked him a sincere question, and you can even see his response in verse 32. And the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he, and to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And there's the commitment there. If you can learn to love God that way, you can learn to love your fellow man that way, that's more important than all the sacrifices. Why is that? Because when you learn to love God, you're going to be willing to do whatever sacrifice he asks. It's when we don't love him like we should, we struggle with the sacrifices of surrender. It's when we don't love him like we should, we struggle with how we should treat other people. And here he says that. And look at Jesus' response. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, He said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any questions. So it was the answer that finished all the questions. They had kept on trying, tripping up. And it all boiled down to this. Do you love God like you should? And if you love God like you should, you know what's going to happen? You're going to love other people like you love yourself. And so tonight, I'd like to look at some different things and just a couple different things as we go through this. I want to first of all talk to you about the importance that's placed on these commandments. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles in Matthew chapter 22. In Matthew chapter 22, we have what I believe is the same story that's going along here. And in the same type of things, and they ask the same questions. And in Matthew chapter 22, it says here in verse number 40, Matthew 22, you'll see that we'll pick up in verse 37. So that way we can see that he's giving the same answer. But he gives a little bit extra here that we help understands us. Jesus said in verse 37, said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. So we see it a little bit additional there. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. He says everything else works with these two. This is the greatest commandments. These are the two. If you love God the way you should and you love people the way you should, everything is going to rest on these two. So it all boils down to how do I love God? So let's go back again to Mark chapter number 12. There is an emphasis that's placed here, and that emphasis is found on loving the Lord first. And we spent Sunday school looking at that. If you get the chance to have, if you weren't here for Sunday school, or you're helping in the back, go back and look at that because the emphasis is there. Tonight, we're going to look at this thought of loving your neighbor as thyself. And they put the emphasis there. I didn't put it there. God put it there. And so that's why you say, well, how I treat others, is that really a big deal? I mean, does it really matter if I treat others the way that I want to be treated? And the answer is yes. And we learn about the first of the 14 commandments, talks about your relationship with God. And the next six talks about your relationship with man. And it's something as if we learn, because we can't do it on our own, if we would learn to love God the right way, then we're going to learn to love others. And when you see somebody not treating people the right way, and they say that they love the Lord, there's something wrong with their heart relationship there. There's something they have a struggle with. And if you had some points, the first one would be the emphasis that's placed on these commandments. And the second point would be, you can't do this on your own. You really, truly need the Holy Spirit's help. You really, truly need God's help. You cannot do it all on his own. Let's actually take our Bibles now to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Told you we're going to be bouncing around a little bit because I'm showing you the emphasis that's placed on this. There is an emphasis placed on love. It all boils down. People think, you're all just talking about a God of love and there's no judgment. No, there is a judgment coming. And love would say, yes, there's a judgment coming. We need to get people ready. But there is a way how we're supposed to treat one another. And we like to ignore that. We like to ignore that based off, we don't mind treating certain people well and treating certain people good, but that's not the case for many times. And that's what some of us struggle with and we need to work on. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, we're going to look at the last verse. It says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I will show unto you a more, what's that next word? Excellent, and then it says way. He says, look, all these great gifts that are talked about in chapter number 12, all the different wonderful things that people says, hey, man, I wish I could preach like that, or I wish I could do this like that, and I wish I could have this gift and this gift. He says, you know what? Desire those, work towards those, let the Lord work in your heart, use the gift that you have, but there's a more excellent way. There's a more excellent way than just the spiritual gifts that they've given you. And he says it here. He says, there's a more excellent way. And that leads into what chapter? It leads into the chapter talking about charity. It leads into the chapter talking about agape love. And then it begins to speak about, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And once again, it continues on. Verse number 4, charity suffer long and is kind. And this is referring to our relationships to others. And it keeps on going. Charity envieth if not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. And it continues on and keeps on going and keeps on going. It goes all the way down to verse number 13, the last verse here. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, these three. But what's the next word? Greatest. The greatest of these is charity. There is an emphasis that the Word of God puts over and over and over in the Scriptures about charity and how to love others. But why is it missing many times? Now we can go back to Mark chapter number 12 for a minute or two. Why is it missing? And I know we don't always like to hear the truth. We don't always care for it because sometimes it hurts our feelings. But when he says, why do you think he says, love thy neighbor as thyself? It's because we love ourselves. The reality is we do not like to harm ourselves. We like that self-preservation that we talked about this morning. I love that thought. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And you think about it, well, what should you be ashamed of? Are you ashamed of Jesus? Are you under shame of Christ? No, you're not ashamed of the person. You're not ashamed of the plan or the purpose or the power. I mean, there's nothing to be ashamed of. Well, why are we embarrassed and awkward when it comes to presenting the gospel? It's because we have a struggle with our love for God. If we had a love for God, we would care more about what God thinks and what people think. And because we want to preserve ourselves, we don't want to push ourselves, and we don't want to put ourselves out, many times we're fearful. And I did have somebody tell me this morning in a nice conversation, they talked about, hey, well, what if we don't feel adequate, or we don't feel like we are able to present the gospel? And that's one of the things we're going to work on this year, and that's a legitimate question. But that's what the answer is, tell them what you know. Give your witness. Talk about the change that God's made in your life. That's what he asks us to be. He asks us to be a witness. We might not know everything about the Bible. We might not know about every single little detail when it comes to things, but we know the change that God's made in us, and we can find out the answers by talking to others and communicating to others. But sometimes people use that excuse. I don't know enough, so I can't tell somebody. You know what? You know enough to be able to hand out a gospel tract. You know enough to say, this is the change that God's made in my life. And here's the thought is, do we love others? The reality is there is an emphasis that's placed on there that is oftentimes not placed in many churches today. We want the emphasis about, like these scribes and these Pharisees, hey, it's got to be done this way. It's got to be done this way, because we think those things are important, and it is important. But the standards and the rules and regulations that are so key, we'll learn to love them when we love him. And when we love him, and those, there is not going to seem like you're surrendering. You're just loving someone that way. It's not seeming like sacrifice because you love someone that way. Go ahead and take your Bible to John chapter 13. In John chapter 13, there is a time and a spot where it talks about how Jesus is once again speaking to his disciples. He's on his way to Calvary. He's on his way to the garden that night. And he talks to them, and he gives them a new commandment. And it says in verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And look what it says in verse 35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Now look at the emphasis. It's there again. Now, once again, many people think, hey, I know he's a disciple of Jesus Christ because he carries a really big Bible. Is there anything wrong carrying a big Bible? No, there isn't. Is there anything wrong? One of the things, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm going to put my Bible on my desk. I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm not ashamed of the fact that I read the Bible. And I said, of course, we think of that, and we want to say, you know what, that's good. And we say amen to that. And we say, yeah, we should do that. We should show those things, and we should. But he's saying here, and this is Jesus saying it. It's not me saying this. This is where he places the emphasis. In verse 34, he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Man, if you think about the way that God's loved us, man, that's amazing. Now he says, I want you to love other people that way. And then it goes a step further, that you also love one another. Verse 35, then he says, by this shall all men know. Now, when we say about all men, what are we thinking of? We're thinking about all types of people. We're thinking of the Pharisees, and we're thinking of the religious leaders of that day. And you know what? When they loved them, what did they say about those disciples when they got in prison? They had spent time with Jesus. There had been a change in her life. All men should know. Your family should know that you love God because you love them the right way. Your neighbors, your coworkers, your enemies, you know, all those different people. All men shall know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. We would like to think that if I'm never ever miss church, then people are going to know I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I know people go to church all the time that don't learn anything from Jesus. And I'm not saying that in a bad or ugly way, but we like to say, if we follow a certain set of guidelines, that means I'm a disciple. No, what a disciple means is that we're following Jesus Christ and we're learning of him. And that's what a disciple is, a person who learned from someone else. And if Jesus teaches us in verse number 34, I've loved you a certain way. Now I want you to love others this way. Now, once again, like the other commentator says, you're never going to get all the way there. But it's something we should be striving towards. It's something we should be working towards. We should love others in a way that we want to be loved. And it says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. And at one point in time, I thought about writing a list of things that I thought, hey, you're going to be your disciple of Jesus Christ if you read the right version of the Bible. I think we should read the right version of the Bible. I think it's inspired. I think it's without mistake. I think all those things. But at the same time, if just because you carry a King James Bible doesn't make you a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's saying that if you'll show how you love one another, just because you're faithful to church, should you be faithful? Yes. Just because you do this and you do that, because you've been doing something for 30 or 40 years, that does not make you a disciple. The world is not going to see you as a disciple that way. The emphasis is found here when you learn how to treat the world the right way. All men will know, not just those that are faithful in church and not just those that are outside the church house. That's someone who follows after the Lord. That's someone who has a desire to follow the Lord. There is an emphasis that's placed here. So why does it say that love as thyself? It's because that's the challenge. When in Ephesians chapter number 5, they even tell the husbands to love their wives as they love themselves. Why is that? Because it's something that teaches us something. There's an emphasis that's placed there. And if we will learn to love, if you wanted to have an outline, the first thing would be the emphasis placed there. The second thing would be we can't do it on our own. And the third thing here is, what does it mean as thyself? Let's go ahead and take our Bibles and mark Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter 7. I did something foolish. I picked up the wrong notes. So I have this morning's sermon here. So that's why I'm having you turn as much because I'm hoping I remember where these verses are at, but it's coming fairly easy and the Lord's helping me. But in Matthew chapter number 7, they're there and they're talking about the Sermon on the Mount, and they're there and they're speaking about the all the different things of how we should treat one another. And we're treating one another, it talks about how we should love one another the way that we want to be treated. And that might not be an exact quote, and I thought it was Matthew chapter 7, verse number 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Look at that. That's what some people say, that's the golden rule. And what does that mean? We treat others the way that we want to be treated. And it's an interesting thought. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Now, it doesn't say treat people the way they deserve to be treated. Oh, remember, what do we learn about Jesus? Jesus loved them a certain way. And what does he tell you? I want you to love others this way. So if we would love people the way that Jesus loved us, then guess what? Then we're going to love the unlovable. Why is that? Because we were unlovable. Think about it. You know, have you ever dealt with somebody that's very difficult, hard to deal with? I have. And I wouldn't say on a regular basis, but I've dealt with people that are unlovely, people that have been unkind, people that are hard to get along with, all these different things. But the Bible is saying here that I need to learn to treat my neighbor as myself. I should want to treat them the way that they want to be, the way I would want to be treated. And boy, that is such a challenge. Because we want to say, of course I love God. Of course he's first. Of course he's first in my heart, my soul, my mind, my strength. And that's evident. But the Bible is saying the way that shows evidence is in how we treat one another and how we love one another. And what the scriptures are saying and what Jesus is saying is that we should love our neighbors as ourselves. Now, it's not just one of those rules, number 600 and, you know, number two, and it's not really that big of a deal. Who really cares? No, he's saying, here's the first one, love God the right way, then love man the right way. And if you get those two things right, guess what? You have it all figured out. And that's why it's such importance. So let's try to make it a little bit more personal with thinking and praying about how things work. And I began to think about families, and I began thinking about how we want other people to treat us. And I thought about that in the verse as the idea that, hey, I want, and as it says in verse number 12, ye would that men should do to you, do even so to them. So I have boys, I have sons, and I would want them to be treated properly. Doesn't give me a right to be angry or mad. If they get treated wrongly, then obviously you do things scripturally ways. But if I want Christian treated a certain way, or Brother Christian or Andrew treated a certain way, shouldn't I want to treat other people's children like that? I mean, that seems pretty easy, right? That seems pretty, but oftentimes because there are children, we have an expectation that they should be treated a little bit better than maybe how I can treat somebody else. I've had the opportunity to work with, I gotta be careful because sometimes I said old people today and someone said, you better be careful how you say that. But I've been older people, and even recently got to help someone that was really struggling with something. And I told my wife and I talked to the Lord about it, says, you know what? I'm not near my parents. I don't live near my parents. The day may come when my parents have the same type of struggles. And I want someone to treat them the way that I'm trying to treat this person. I can't always say that because many times it's that self-preservation. I don't want to put myself out. I don't want to do those things because when I want to take care of myself. You think about it, when I'm hungry, what do? I go find some food, or I whine that I'm on a diet and I can't eat and I make everybody else miserable. If I'm thirsty, what do? I go find something to drink. If I'm sick, what do? I take care of myself. I go get some medicine. I hate going to the doctors, but I go to the medicine. You know, we take care of ourselves because of the fact that we care about ourselves. So it's a step further here, is if we're treating others the way that we want to be treated, I think that also goes with our relationships, because we're supposed to love our neighbors as ourselves, then I think we need to consider this a little bit. We have a new thing in our family because Brother Christian got married to Alyssa, and you know, things are different now. There's, you know, additional family and all those different things. And I think about, you know what? You know, I want Christian to treat Alyssa right. And if he does anything wrong, we'll take Christian out. Because we love Alyssa, and I want Alyssa to treat Christian right. But it would be wrong for me to say to my wife, hey, we want Christian to make sure he's treating Alyssa right and me to treat her wrong. Of course, I want the woman that he's chosen to marry to treat my son right, because that's what she's supposed to do. And she better not mess around with him and pick on whatever it is. And that's what I want. But then do I treat my wife that way? Does my wife treat me that way? And I look at relationships sometimes, and we want others to treat somebody right, but they could care less about how they treat you. I mean, no offense, but people want a pastor to be kind and a pastor to be understanding, but then oftentimes they don't want to be kind and understanding to the pastor. And I'm not saying, hey, woe is me. I have a wonderful church, wonderful relationships. Nobody's perfect, and we're all working towards it. But if we really, truly want people to treat, and I know sometimes people are a little protective of their pastor, and I'm okay with that to a point, but you better not mess with the pastor. But then you go and mess with somebody else, you're missing something here. If you want someone to treat this person right, then I must learn to treat that person right. And that's sometimes, I think, a disconnect here, because it's love thy neighbor as thyself. And we always think, oh, I'm okay, and I don't have to take care of myself. I do all those things. No, we want people that would be willing to love their neighbor as himself. And if that relationship is something, of course, that husband should love his wife. And of course, and sometimes we look, oh, those people, they don't treat each other. He doesn't treat her right. Well, how do you treat your wife? How do you treat your husband? Or though they don't treat their children right, well, how do you treat somebody else's children? because I've seen disdain, I've seen anger, I've seen frustration, I've seen people who say that they love the Lord and they miss it because Jesus is saying, I've loved you a certain way, now I want you to go love others that way, and then people are going to know you're a disciple of Jesus Christ based off of what? Because I carry a big Bible? Because I'm always faithful? Because I wear a suit and tie? No, they're going to know that I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ because I've learned how to love people the way that He loves us. Once again, it's a challenge. So where do we see this at? Where do we see Jesus gives a story in Luke chapter 10? So let's go and take our Bible to Luke chapter 10. Most of you know this story. I do not believe this is the same incidents that they're talking about here. I believe Matthew chapter 22 and Mark chapter 12 are the same. I think Luke chapter number 10 is just a different story that he gives. And some of the ways that it's worded and some of the timelines. I know not everything's done in a chronological order, but you see what's happening in Matthew 22. You see what's happening in Mark chapter 12. I think Luke chapter number 10 is another time when he just tells a different story to a different group of people. Okay, so let's look here in Luke chapter number 10. Most of you know this story. It's a story of the Good Samaritan. And it's a beautiful story. What is it? They're treating the Samaritan the way that they would want to be treated. They're treating the Samaritan the way that they want to be, that I would want to be treated. If I was laying on the side of the road, beaten up, half dead, you know, not having many clothes on, what would you want? You would hope that someone would be merciful to you. You would hope someone would be kind to you. You hope someone that would treat you the way you would want to be treated and that they would give you help. Look what it says in Matthew chapter 10. And we'll go ahead and start in verse 27. Actually, we'll look in verse 25, and it says, behold, a certain lawyer stood up. It was a lawyer, but you see the questions have switched here, and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Well, Matthew chapter 12 is talking about what is the first commandment. Now, some commentators believe off the next ones doesn't really matter, but it does teach the same story. He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he willing to justify himself. What is he doing? He is self-preservation. He realizes he can't do that. He realizes, you know, okay, no one can do all that. No one loves God that way. No one can love others that way. So he wants to justify himself. He wants to make himself look good and look right. Well, everybody else has their faults. And that's, we should be striving to love him to the utmost. And then God will help us to love others. We'll see people the way that God wants to see them. We'll understand people the way that God wants us to understand. And we'll see people through God's eyes. And we'll love people the way that God loves them when we love him enough. We'll be able to love him, love other people, even the lovely ones, because God did that. And when we have that mind of Christ, we're willing to sacrifice. And it's hard, it's difficult. But he gives this example. But he willing to justify himself and said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. So you see him, he's, for the most part, naked. He's been beaten up. He's left, and the Bible even says, half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. The priest ignores him. And we would think the priest, being a religious representation of God, nope. And likewise, the Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. So he came and checked out, saw that there was a problem, didn't want to help. Verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, and we know their faces probably cringed up because they did not like the Samaritans. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. He felt his pain. He got inside his skin in a sense. He saw that, and he said, and he went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, will I come again, and I will pay thee. This man sacrifices, this man gives up his own comfort levels by letting the man ride his animal. And then he even pays, even offers to pay more. And then he asks this question, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And the obvious answer, and he said, he that showeth mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Go and do thou likewise. I don't know about you, but I began thinking, if that was a family member of mine that was there hurting, I would want somebody to help him. I would. Wouldn't you? I mean, if it was my son or my daughter-in-law, my wife, my dad, my brother, of course I would want that and I desire that. But it seems like that we are good at walking past people's problems without even giving any concern. We're like, I think some people are like the Levites. They want to stick their nose in it to find out what's going on, but never have an interest in helping. And then they get on the other side of the road and they probably disdain them, thinking, oh, they shouldn't have been out here. I wonder what they did. I wonder what type of sin, why God's bringing that judgment in their heart and judgment in their lives. But that's not loving your neighbor as yourself. So let me encourage you today. I know what you're going to think. You want me to love people, so I got to work harder at loving people. No, you work harder at loving God. Because when you learn to love God the right way, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, all your strength, I'm trying to get in the right order from chapter 12, then he's going to enable you to love even the unlovely, those that have great needs. Did this man inconvenience himself? Of course he did. Does it mean that we should inconvenience ourselves? We would want other people to inconvenience themselves if we needed the help. We should want to love our neighbors as ourselves. So tonight, there is an emphasis that's placed. Not only is there an emphasis that's placed, there's an example that's given. What's the example? First of all, the example is Jesus in John chapter 13. I loved you a certain way, now I expect you to love. The emphasis that's placed there also is, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there's a more excellent way. And the greatest of these is charity. There's that, and you see how we're supposed to love others. We fall so short of that. And that's when he's looking at this scribe who's coming to him. And it even talks about in Matthew 22, he's trying to tempt Jesus in Mark chapter 12. But he kind of gets it. He begins thinking about it and kind of clicks in and kind of go back to Mark chapter 12 real quick. It kind of seems as if he gives the right answer. And Jesus even looks at him and he says to him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. He didn't repent. He didn't get his heart right. He understood what was said. Jesus opened the door of his understanding. He understood that loving God right, loving people right, was more important than the sacrifices, that all the laws were hinged on that. He says, you know what? That's true. He got it. But it never changed him, because he never, ever, as far as we know, turned to God. And here's the thing is, we can put all the pieces together and we can lay it all out there and we can understand it, but we can also let it not change us. That's the danger of not loving God the right way. So, Pastor, I love the Lord. If you love the Lord, remember I talked about this morning, it's a heart, it's a choice, it's a center seat of your life. You made that choice. The soul is the emotional side of it. It comes to your mind, it's what's on your mind. What do you think about? What you think about is what you live for many times, is what your heart has. But then your strength will show. It will show up in your life. And Jesus is saying, as it's showing up in your life, learn to love thy neighbor as thyself. So he gives that as an example of saying, this is the way I loved others. I want you to love others this way. I think it shows us the ultimate example of, I don't love God the way I should. Because if I loved him the way I should, then I'm going to treat thy neighbor as thyself. Or as it talked about in Mark chapter number 7, verse number 12. So do we really treat other people the way we treat ourselves? And I think we can make some excuses there. So think a little bit about this. Do I treat others the way that I would want someone to treat my family? I think that takes it to almost a different level. I don't want somebody to mess with someone in my family. They better treat them right. Do I treat people that way? If my sons or my family is struggling with something, how do I want them to be treated? And sometimes I think if we would look at our own relationships, relationships within our family, relationships within our church family, relationships out in our workforce, we miss this. We have reason in our heart and reason in our mind because of that way that person acts and treats, because of the things they've done in the past, I'm not going to treat them right, and I'm not going to treat them the way that God would want me to treat them. They don't deserve it. Let me remind you, none of us deserve the love of Jesus. And he says in Mark, he said in John chapter 13, you know, I've loved you this way. Now I want you to love others that way. And that's when people are going to know that you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. So tonight is more than just saying, oh, so-and-so says you must be a Christian. Now, some people will say, hey, you're a Christian because, you know, you dress a certain way or you don't have a foul mouth. And I think that is a wonderful, great testimony. It really is. But there's a difference between being a Christian and a disciple. A disciple is someone who's continually learning. And what are we learning? We're learning how to love God the right way so we can learn how to treat others. This gives us an example. Do you have problems with treating others the way you would want to be treated? Or the way you would want your family to be treated? Then it boils down to this. I don't love God as much as I should. Or at least not in the ways I should. I'm not surrendered to him like that. Because if we love him, this commandment is not something we're going to disdain and say, I can't do that. Instead, it's going to be, Lord, I love you so much. Teach me how to do that. Teach me how to love the unlovely because I was unlovely and you still loved me. I was unkind and you still loved me. I was hard to deal with and you still loved me. I was this and you still loved me. Lord, teach me how to do that. Because the Bible says, when we can learn to love one another, all men will then know that we are a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Let's have a word of prayer.